This is Theater USA. Tonight, in person, Vinton Friedley, the Golden Gate Quartet, Jackie Gleason, Jane Pickens, Nancy Coleman, Ralph Forbes, and Melvin Douglas in the vignette from that hilarious comedy, Petticoat Fever. This is Theater USA. Theater USA, a presentation of the United States Army, transcribed in cooperation with the American Broadcasting Company and the American National Theater and Academy, is on the air. First, here is your master of ceremonies and your United States Army host on these broadcasts, one of America's most famous and distinguished theatrical producers, and the president of the American National Theater and Academy, Mr. Vinton Friedley.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I won't be specific when it comes to names, but those of us in show business are surprised every now and then when they hear that the famous act is broken up because of the personal differences of its members. A smoldering argument, a brief quarrel, a flash of temper, and, well, the act is split. Over the years, more talent has been lost to the public that way than there are sketches of celebrities hanging on the walls of Sardi's. There's one combination in the trade today, though, that had its own form of insurance against this sort of thing. They follow two rules scrupulously. The first, members of the act never see each other except at rehearsals. Their wives may have lunch or go shopping, but the men stay away from each other until showtime. Now, the second rule, never play cards together, ever. Has it worked? Well, the act's in its 20th year and is played from the movie lots of Hollywood to Carnegie Hall, from the best nightclubs of New York to a White House inauguration. Ladies and gentlemen, Theater USA is happy to present one of the greatest singing combines in the country, which is opening Tuesday night at Cafe Society here in New York, the Golden Gate Quartet.
Well, me and Brother Bill went hunting up in the woods in Maine. The reason why we went up there, we thought we could get some game. Well, me and Brother Bill just hunted until the middle of the night. We shot at something that looked like a bear, but the doggone thing turned white.
Yes, drop that gun.
Well, and the way I run, Brother Bill said, boy, what's the matter with you? You're known like a me, and I run some too. I run so fast, they say,
they couldn't catch me all day. The way I ran across that field, couldn't catch me with an automobile.
Brother Bill got so excited, he took one shot at me. The bullet passed right by my head, boom, struck the tree. Oh boy, I started shuffling, my feet both left the ground. I said, look at your feet, don't leave me now.
Alley, very fast.
Drop that gun.
I dropped that gun,
and the way I run,
Brother
Bill said, boy, what's the matter with you?
If you know like me, it'd run some too, I run.
So fast to say,
they couldn't catch me all day. The way I run across that field, couldn't catch me with an automobile.
Well, I ran right by a poker game, I wanted to win the pot, but Bill's gun went boom again, and I didn't have time to stop. Well, I ran right by a windmill, I wanted to get some wind, but I didn't have the money to pay for it, so I had to start running again.
Whoa.
I'm going home.
Going home.
Well, I'm all alone.
Going home.
Brother Bill said, boy, what's the matter with you? If it hit, better help, better run some too. I run so fast, they say,
they couldn't catch me all day. The way I run across that field, they couldn't catch me with an automobile. Running, 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 running. Being Brother Bill.
Thank you, Golden Gate Quartet. How to get into the theater. Example number 5. The case of the diversified comedian. It wasn't just because he was born in Brooklyn that he wanted to be a comedian. He had a general feeling for making people laugh, but the road was hard. He became a carnival barker. Second, he was a comic in burlesque. Next, he became a master of ceremonies in a movie theater, then a radio disc jockey. Finally, Hollywood. But there, they cast him in gangster roles. So, back to New York. For a long time, the going was tough. But in 1940, the break came. In the musical Keep Off the Grass, he made his first success. This was followed by Artists and Models and Follow the Girls. And this season, at the Imperial Theater, he starred in Along Fifth Avenue. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the side-splitter himself, Jackie Gleason.
Thank you, friends, and thank you, Mr. Friedley. And may I say it's a pleasure to be back in New York.
I didn't know you'd been away, Jackie.
Oh, yes, Vinton. As a matter of fact, I just returned from Hollywood. I got the Academy Award for receiving unemployment insurance.
tell me, while you were out there, did you make any pictures?
Yes, I made two. The Falcon Takes a Bubble Bath, and Can a Young Girl with No Head Find Happiness?
You know, Jackie, a great many people are not aware that you're quite a songwriter.
Oh, well,
Now, wait, don't be modest about it. Tell me, what were some of your big hits?
Well, if you insist. Of course, as you know, I wrote Mother Was a Pippin' Till Her Uppers Started Slippin'. Then I wrote You Look Like a Total Stranger Since You Caught Your Nose in the Record Changer. Then there was my big hit, While Grandma Wound the Old Victrola, I Put a Mickey in Her Pepsi-Cola.
See, that was a smash, wasn't it?
Oh, it sold 80 copies.
What have you been working on lately, Jackie?
Well, I just completed a tone poem.
That sounds interesting. What's it about?
Well, as you know, Vinton, it's spring and a young man gets pretty fancy. So, I wrote it about my first real love, a girl named Laura.
Might I be so presumptuous as to ask you to let us hear it?
I would be delighted, Mr. Friedley. A little background music, please. Laura. Gee, I can remember her just as if it were yesterday. Leaning up against the fire hydrant with the wind running through her crew haircut. And her eyes. Her eyes had the dreamy quality of wet felt. Her nose looked like a broken bicycle seat. I loved every hair on her lip. You couldn't tell whether she had a mustache or she just finished drinking cocoa. She had such buck teeth, she was the only girl I knew who could eat a sandwich through a Venetian blind. She had so many cavities, she talked with an echo. Oh, I'll always cherish our first meeting. It was in the park. She coyly dropped her handkerchief, and when I picked it up, she was embarrassed. Her nose was still in it. Before we left each other, we made a date for the following evening. Then she gaily waved goodbye, jumped on a passing butcher, and went home piggyback. Oh, what a night I spent in anticipation of our date. I had nightmares. I dreamt I was awake, and when I awoke, I was asleep. Finally, morning arrived. Dashing into the bathroom, I brushed my teeth right off the shelf. Then I sat down at the table and partook of a hearty breakfast, consisting of hot ginger ale and oatmeal, ham hocks dipped in bourbon, and matzo balls on a flaming sword. Then I ran to our rendezvous, and there she was. The very sight of her made my nose bleed. Her appearance startled me. She was wearing her hair inside of her head. Her gown was made of the finest imported Italian silk. The spaghetti was still on it. Brushing a meatball off her shoulder, I took her arm and walked up the street. I'd gone two blocks before I realized she wasn't attached to the arm. Right then and there, I proposed to her. I said, "Darling, marry me and you'll have money, jewels, and beautiful clothing." She said, "But I already have money, jewels, and beautiful clothing." I said, "All right, then, I'll marry you." And the wedding, oh, the wedding was a splendid affair. It was held in the Yakimain room of Ruby Foo's. For our honeymoon, we went to the Rigor Mortis Hotel in Stranglewood, New Jersey. Oh, how happy we were. She was a wonderful cook. She put little sailboats in her navy bean soup. And at the end of each meal, she put trained goldfish in finger bowls. So that not only could you wash your fingers, but the goldfish would bite off your cuticles. Time passed and I became the proud father of triplets. One was a boy and one was a girl. We never found out what the third one was. The second day it flew away. And then tragedy struck. I came home one day and found a note. It said, "Dear Jack, The children and I have run away with Brilliantine Benny, the foreign correspondent for the racing form. Cancel the milk service, give the dog his distemper shots, and drop dead. This terrible catastrophe shook my very soul. My children gone, my wife gone, and not only that, but I couldn't find the dog's distemper shots. People began to look at me with scorn and contempt. They were the only friends I had left. Finally, scorn left me, and contempt joined the Foreign Legion. I went from bad to worse, to Rack and Ruin, Amos and Andy, Lum and Abner. And finally, I appeared on Stop the Music, where I guessed the secret tune. Who put the sour cream in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine? They gave me $20,000, a Greyhound bus, a grease pit, and a bungalow in Cream Cheese, Nevada. Well, that's the end of my story. I suppose you wonder what became of Laura. Well, Brilliantine Benny lost his job with the racing form and got a job as a construction engineer. Laura was watching him work one day when she slipped and fell into his concrete mixer. She is now a left turn on Route 29.
Thank you, Jackie Gleason.
Ladies and gentlemen, our Army and our Air Force are critically short of physicians and dentists. Volunteers from these two professions are urgently needed today to safeguard and care for the health of the men and women who, as members of the United States Army and United States Air Force, are serving you and me at home and overseas. Young physicians and dentists, particularly those who did not serve in the armed services during World War II, have been asked by their government to act now, to volunteer for duty at once. If you are one of these young physicians or dentists, please write or wire either the Surgeon General of the United States Army or the Air Surgeon of the United States Air Force at once and volunteer your services. If you know one of these young physicians or dentists, please call his attention to this urgent message. Thank you.
In the spring of 1936, I got hold of a musical called Red, Hot, and Blue. I'd cast it during the summer, and by early fall, it went into rehearsal. Before we left for an out-of-town tryout in Boston, I thought I'd better have a look at the current competition. The Ziegfeld Follies had just opened, so I dropped in one evening. His cast was brilliant, with such stars as Fanny Bryce, Gypsy Rose Lee, and Bobby Clark. What interested me particularly, however, was the singing star of the Follies. From the moment she walked onto the stage, I knew the show had to be a hit. She thrilled me then, she thrilled me a few years later, when she starred opposite Edwin in Boys and Girls Together. She'll thrill you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, one of Broadway's favorite singers and the star of her own Sunday afternoon radio show, the talented and lovely Miss Jane Pickens.
When I'm close to you, dear, the stars fill the sky. So in love with you am I. Even without you, my arms fold about you. First were there, in love with my joy delirious, when I knew that you could care. So taunt me and hurt me, deceive me, desert me, I'm yours till I die. So in love, so in love. with you, my love, am I.
Thank you, Jane Pickens. Ever since 1935, when Richard Aldrich and Alfred Deliaga Jr. produced it at the Ritz Theater, Mark Reed's comedy, Petticoat Fever, has been a favorite with the American audiences. To play the much sought-after young lady in Petticoat Fever, Theater USA has a much sought-after young actress, whose very first appearance on Broadway met with great success. She opened in Susan and God with Gertrude Lawrence, then had the lead in Philip Barry's Liberty Jones. From there, she went straight to Hollywood to appear in King's Row, Edge of Darkness, and Remember Tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Nancy Coleman. To play the role of Sir James Fenton, aviator, tycoon, and finally unsuccessful suitor, we have no less than the gentleman who carried leading roles in The Doctor's Dilemma, Hedda Gabler, Bojest, and Private Lives, and who was seen last season on Broadway in George Bernard Shaw's You Never Can Tell. Ladies and gentlemen, the distinguished actor, Mr. Ralph Forbes. To play the role of the dashing Dascom Dinsmore, a gentleman whose distinguished career has included Candlelight, Tonight or Never, and No More Ladies, and in Hollywood such films as Ninotchka, Dangerous Corner, and Theodora Goes Wild. Once again, he's back on Broadway at the Court Theater as the star of the extremely successful Two Blind Mice. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Army and Theater USA are proud to present the very gifted star and polished actor, Mr. Melvin Douglas. Before the music starts, Mr. Douglas, take over and set the scene for a vignette from Mark Reed's comedy, Petticoat Fever.
In Labrador, there are no women. Do you know what that means? I appeal to the gentlemen in the audience. Can you imagine what it means to be snowbound for 2 years in a cabin in Labrador without the sight of a beautiful woman? It happened to me. Me, Dascom Dinsmore, the lady killer of the Malaya rubber plantations. The Beau Brummel of Tahiti, the cake eater of Ottawa. Why I signed up to be a wireless operator stationed in the most barren reaches of the Arctic Circle is too long a story to go into now, but you're right. A woman was at the bottom of it, and I was at the top of the world. Labrador. Wind, 55 miles an hour. Temperature, 65 degrees below zero. And then, I opened the door.
How do you do?
How do you do?
What's the matter? You think I'm a spook?
No, just another round-the-world flyer.
Oh, merely dashing over to Montreal from St. John's. Petrol gave out, and I nosed into a drift. Do you mind? May I use your fire?
Not at all. Help yourself.
Ah, by Jove.
Can I get you some food?
Not at the moment, thanks.
Frostbitten?
I think not. A trifle chilly. Fortunately, the snow was deep and quite warm.
Buried long?
Oh, last night, the night before. What day is this?
November the 10th.
10th? Are you sure?
10th or 11th, what's the difference?
Well, I see no occasion to get irritable over the date.
I am not irritable over the date. It's the 10th. I crossed it off the calendar not 5 minutes ago.
My word, then we were buried only one night after all. I swear it seemed a fortnight. We left St. John's at noon.
Somebody along with you?
My assistant pilot. Phew. We had a time of it, I can tell you.
Better bring the other fellow in.
Well, I,
life's a bore anyway. I welcome any kind of interruption, even a couple of men.
You are most kind. I say, when is the next boat due?
Not long.
Good.
About 6 months. If you'd only come 2 weeks earlier, you'd have caught the last boat.
Where's the nearest railroad?
Oh, 1,000 miles or so.
Live here alone, do you?
Oh, yes, quite alone.
No woman knocking about?
Nah, sorry to break the bad news. There's not a woman within 500 miles.
I merely thought it would be, convenient.
The same thought has occurred to me. At times I feel that I could commit murder to get one here, but somehow I never do.
Don't you really? How long since you've seen a woman? I say, how long since you've seen a woman?
I'm reckoning. Eskimo woman, 5 months. White woman, 7 months. Beautiful woman, 2 years.
What you need, old boy, is some jolly little hobby to occupy the mind.
I've got a jolly little hobby. I sit here and regret my misspent youth.
Good grief, what a pickle. What a wretched pickle. Well, I suppose I'll have to bring her in.
Uh-huh.
My companion is a woman.
A woman? Oh, a woman? Why didn't you say so? Where is she?
Well, she was a bit fagged. I ran on ahead.
Listen, she isn't old.
Old? She's young and game as a pebble. The first crash, too.
Has she broken anything?
No, 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 thank heaven.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter? I say, is something wrong?
A woman. Here. A woman!
I don't know how I managed it, but somehow I contained myself until that stuffy old fossil reappeared in the doorway with the most gorgeous, lovely, beautiful, handsome, adorable, tantalizing, scintillating lady you've ever seen. And you know what she said? You won't believe this, but she looked straight at me, right into my eyes, and her very first words were...
You're very kind, Mr... What's your name?
Oh, we didn't introduce ourselves.
That's so we didn't, but we must.
I'm Sir James Fenton of Montreal.
How do you do? My name is... Gee, I've got a name. Such a long time since I've mentioned it. Don't tell me now. I'll find out. Oh, sure, sure. It's Dinsmore. My name is Dascombe Dinsmore, at your service.
Miss Campion, may I introduce Mr. Dinsmore?
How do you do?
The pleasure's all mine, I assure you. May I take your cap?
Thank you.
Thank you. May I take your coat? May I help you off with your overshoes?
No, get away from her feet.
She's going to stay a long time.
I guess I better remove them, Jim.
Oh, definitely. I'd love to help.
That's all right, Dinsmore.
Cigarette?
Thank you.
Light? I'm so nervous.
Thank you.
They tell me this is your first crash.
Mm-hmm.
And quite a pleasant one.
Oh, delightful.
Draw right up to the fire, Ethel.
Ethel. Oh, Ethel.
What's that?
I was about to ask, what can I do for you next, Sir James?
Well, if we could go to our rooms.
Sir James, I think I'll put you in the east room, and Miss Campion, you will have the west room, which opens there, right opposite mine. My bunk is right beside the wireless.
I am to occupy the east room, you said?
Yes, and the east or storeroom is right through there, Sir James. Good night.
Yeah, but I say, I...
Through this door, Sir James.
Now look here, Dinsmore.
There. Now then, Miss Campion, would you like to, I mean, shall we, well, that is, may I,
Yes, Mr. Dinsmore?
Is there anything I can get for you?
No, thanks.
A cup of tea?
No, thanks.
Whiskey and soda? Without the soda?
No.
I'll get you some hot soup. Later. Oh.
I beg your pardon?
I beg yours.
I thought you spoke.
No, I'm trying to think of something to say.
Well, for heaven's sake, hurry up about it.
It's very nice to have you here.
I imagine you do get frightfully bored.
Oh, no, not at all. At times, it's frightfully exciting here. Why, only last Sunday, we had 2,700 miles of wind.
That's a lot of wind.
Isn't it?
Well, I'm sure you and Sir James will hit it off. He likes rough life, the sea and the mountains. He has a ranch owned in Saskatchewan. Oh, you'll like him. He's a man's man, too.
I am not a man's man.
Well, surely you can't be much of a woman's man up here.
No, I do labor under difficulties. You're the first beautiful woman I've seen in 2 years.
Anyone would look attractive to you.
Oh, no, 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 no. I've kept my standards high. You're beautiful. I'll stake my last dollar on it.
That'll be quite unnecessary.
I'll bet you $5 you're beautiful.
Mr. Dinsmore, I think that right now is an excellent time for me to make an announcement.
Yes?
I'm engaged.
Sir James?
Yes.
I'll get the soup. Miss Campion?
Yes?
Pardon me, I forgot to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Sir James will be very happy. Miss Campion, Ethel.
Yes?
You must have been very unhappy at home. Oh, well, after all, engagement is a very frail institution, isn't it? Very frail.
I was going to ask you, Mr. Dinsmore.
Yes?
Is there a minister in the neighborhood?
Not within 100 miles.
Really?
And I, Miss Campion, am not a justice of the peace. I'm happy to say. Well, there we were in rather a tight sort of triangle, don't you think? But being the sort of guy I am, I'm going to tell you how we solved matters. After a number of extremely unpleasant days for all three of us, I persuaded Ethel to stick around. If you're ever up around Labrador, I'll show you where the minister's house is. It's only a few hundred miles from ours.
Thank you, Nancy Coleman, Ralph Forbes, and Melvin Douglas.
America's finest men choose U.S. Army careers.
America's finest men choose U.S. Army careers.
Yes, your U.S. Army has set the highest standards in history for enlistment. Only America's finest young men can qualify.
That's right. Today, your U.S. Army has established highest standards in history. And only America's finest men can qualify.
America's finest men choose U.S. Army careers.
America's finest men choose U.S. Army careers.
To the people of the USA, from the people of the theater, our thanks for your interest, your time, your attention. ANTA, the American National Theater and Academy, was chartered by the Congress of the United States to bring the best in the theater to the 48 states in the nation. Through these broadcasts in cooperation with the United States Army, we hope in part to carry on that pledge. Our special thanks this night to the Golden Gate Quartet, to Jackie Gleason, to Jane Pickens, and of course to Nancy Coleman, Ralph Forbes, and Melvin Douglas. Next week...
The United States Army presents, in the order of their appearance, Vinton Friedley, Mary Jane Walsh, Phil Silvers, the original sisters Shirley Booth and Joanne Sayers, in a vignette from that delightful farce, My Sister Eileen, and Sir Laurence Olivier. This is Theater USA. Theater USA has been a presentation of the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service, transcribed in cooperation with the American Broadcasting Company and the American National Theater and Academy. The program was under the executive supervision of Roland Martini. Music was arranged and conducted by Nathan Kroll. Theater USA was written and produced by Howard Teichman. Warren Sweeney speaking.